cameraman who makes Rashog look pretty every day on TV, joins us now. Parker, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, you really do all the hard work because you're the guy, like, as a cameraman, I want to get into this. Like, you're watching practice all the time. You're right on the bench. You actually have a better vantage point than all of us. How closely do you watch practice? And, you know, does Rashog tell you before, okay, I want to watch a guy, or do you kind of pick out certain things that you think will be good visuals?
Well, I'm supposed to know what to watch for. That's what Ryan would tell me, that I need to pay attention. I follow the games. Obviously, I know that if somebody's coming back into the lineup, or if somebody's changing lines or something like that. But we communicate pretty closely. He lets me know what specific story he's working on, and then I shoot appropriately. But generally speaking, I like to think I know enough about what's going on and who's moving back in or out or whatever, or that sort of thing.
Now, you've been there for a few of our famous and wonderful Rashog interactions, specifically the McTavish one that really kind of spurred on mandate right now that happens with his mandate like that. So when you're holding the camera and you see Rashog and a guy kind of getting into it, what's going through your mind at that time?
Make sure I get the best sound and the best shot of it. and not to, not because I would want to throw him under the bus, because that's, as you know, from the McTavish incident, that always makes good TV. So a cameraman also is supposed to be, sometimes act as a bit of a bodyguard. So I kind of have to be aware once in a while when I know someone's not happy with them that I don't see, a hand come out and grab them. But I think Ryan could probably take care of himself. He's been in some hockey fights, so although he wasn't that successful in many of those from the sounds of things. I just keep my eye on what's happening and make sure I get it on camera.
How do you know when to turn the camera off?
That's a good question that a lot of people ask about. You know, what parts do you want on camera and what don't you? A lot of cameramen would say that you turn the camera off when you know you're about to record something that could get yourself or your coworkers in trouble, as in, you know, if people are saying things that you know you would never want on TV. And I don't mean like that we're doing things inappropriate, but there's things that we're privy to see and hear in locker rooms and around the game that the athletes and the teams probably wouldn't want us to show, and because they're personal and private, and I respect that those are the only times really I have to be aware to turn the camera off. But to be fair, that doesn't happen that often, and that's a tough situation, because lots of the times you have to make an instant judgment call, because that also could be the best story of the day. If you turn the camera off and then somebody says, hey, that's great, that'll lead SportsCenter tonight, it'd be like, oh, I didn't think we wanted that, or that we'd get in trouble. But very rarely do I turn the camera off, actually. It's all sorted out in editing.
Now, sometimes when you're at live press conferences, it's different because the camera's live and, you know, there's things that are going on that maybe shouldn't be said. You have any fun stories of guys maybe not realizing the camera's on?
That doesn't happen that often. Reporters are usually, if you mean reporters, it doesn't happen that often, but there's been a few incidents where people were interviewing have screwed up. I know we were doing a live, I won't remember who it was. I only remember the incident that the person was, we were live. We told them we were live. We're live on SportsCenter, or it might've been Maps Hockey. I forget. But the person said, okay, hey, I screwed that up. Can we stop and start again? And we were like, no, cause we're live. No, really. I want to do that again. It's like, but we're live. So just to ask another question, Ryan asked another question. It's like, yeah, really, guys, I'd really like to start again. It's like, yeah, sorry. Thank you. We're done. Back to you. It's like, oops, that's embarrassing. Nothing you can do about that.
Oh, that's that is golden. Now, Ryan Rashog, he admits that he's not the most technically savvy guy, definitely when it comes to vehicles. I'm sure, as you've heard, you travel with Rashog more than anyone. What are some of your famous kind of Rashog moments as far as lacking technological expertise?
As far as like computer stuff, he's superior to me in that area. He's a gadget guy, so he's always got, you know what he's got. He's got his Samsung watch and his Samsung tablet and his Samsung phone. I'm sure you've teased him about that, but the thing about cars is legendary, and I know we've all heard the mudflap story, but two of my favorites is one time we were at an airport and we were getting all the luggage, and that's as you mentioned, I do most of the work, the heavy lifting. So I'm, you know, hauling all of our gear out of the airport, and he's, you know, on his phone or talking to somebody, maybe even doing a radio interview with you. But he walks out of the airport and walks up to a, you know, a black SUV, opens the door and gets in and sits down. And I'm still waiting to get on the rental bus shuttle. We don't even have a rental car yet. And for whatever reason, he just thought that was ours. And I kind of walk up to him and go, hey, what are you doing? He's like, well, let's go. And I'm like, that's not our car. That's one of the best ones. Another time in Saskatoon at the World Juniors, 2010, he got in the wrong vehicle, but then phoned me to ask me why I was taking so long and what was I doing? We need to go. And I'm like, well, I'm in the car. And he's like, no, you're not. I'm in the car. And I'm like, no, Ryan, you're not. I don't know where you are, but you are not in the right car. So he actually got in a, we were in an SUV. He got in a full-size pickup on the opposite side of the arena. The only thing that was close to comparable was that they were the same color. Because we went and looked at it later, because I teased him about it for weeks. Like, how do you get in the wrong vehicle that often? So he went from an SUV to a full-size pickup. And he sat there without noticing that, you know, it had nothing to do with any of our gear. A truck. Anyway, I'd like to say he's one of the smartest journalists I've ever met, but when it comes to things like that, he misses a few points.
Now, Rashog takes his job very seriously, does a lot of research on everything. That's obviously why he's doing it nationally, does it very good. How much of a stickler is he when it comes to which footage he wants?
The person you should be talking to is some of the editors in Toronto about that. He's a stickler, but to be fair, I am too. And I think that, you know, like you said, that shows his professionalism that, you know, when he, in his words, crafts a story, you know, there's specific words that he's picked for specific shots, specific events that have happened on the ice. And so he wants it to be exactly right. So yeah, I would say he's a 10 out of 10 on stickler for detail that way, but not just for what video he wants, for everything. He's I'm going to pump his tires a little bit, which is too bad because he's not listening. But like I said, he's one of the best journalists I've ever worked with. So wanting things to be perfect is what makes him great.
How often does he get you in the mind game?
Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't ask about that. Yeah, all the time. And it's painful because he's so good at it. And it's funny because I introduced the game to him, but he just gets me all the time. And he's a real jerk about it because he'll do it when he knows I'm the most vulnerable. For example, one time he got me, I was having a less than stellar work day. Some things were going wrong. Equipment wasn't working. And we're literally about to do, I think it was McTavish when he was coaching. We were about to go live with him. And my camera's not working. I'm totally stressed out. And he got me. And I just looked at him and like, really? Right now? But as you know, the rules of the game.
Oh, yes.
I had to do them right then and there. 10 quick push-ups, which, you know, now my heart's already racing. Now I got to do the push-ups. And yeah, he's very cruel and extremely inappropriate. Anytime that he knows he will catch you with your guard down, he'll get you. Are you playing, by the way? Are you in?
I am in, yes.
Oh, that's good to know. How many times has he gotten you?
Well, he got me once, and I didn't know the rule that because he didn't tell me that when we were on air that it would count, which is totally fine. So, I kind of got rookie initiation. But, yeah, he's tried numerous times since, and I'm like, that's the lamest attempt ever. So
yeah, well, he has an advantage because he plays it with every single person in his life, like, his brothers, his family, everybody. So, I mean, he's playing all the time. That's why it's a disadvantage to the rest of us because we don't play every minute of the day.
Dave Parker from TSN, Rashog's ace cameraman, joining us. And Rashog is on holidays for the next 2 weeks. He is out in Disney World, I think it is. And
yeah.
So we're going to have a lot of his we got Jay Onright coming on later this week. We'll probably have Dutchy next week and a few other TSN guys. We'll talk sports, of course, but have a little fun. You're the only camera guy, so I did want to get into some of the camera things of it. We do have a lot of texts from listeners wondering how much makeup Rashog actually wears.
Well, he's a little pasty naturally, so I coach him all the time in the summer to get more of a tan. But not that much, actually. I don't know what MAC number he is. I should know that. There's lots of cameramen that know exactly what to go and buy their reporters to make them look better. But
come on, seriously?
Oh yeah. I mean, not all of them, but you know, that's a sign of a good team that I would know that he's a MAC number 4 or something.
Okay,
but,
sure. Well, we'll ask him next time.
Sounds a little odd. I don't know what number he is, but not that much. But he does have to wear it. But to be fair, again, everybody does. So.
No, that's very true. Dutchie probably wears the most, so let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, when you're under the lights at SportsCenter, they got it kicked on pretty heavy.
Parker, we appreciate this. Who's filling in for Rashog?
Well, we're going without today, and then Jermaine is coming in to talk to Sydney on Friday. Jermaine Franklin from Calgary.
Ooh, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. You should get Jermaine and Rashog to talk NFL sometime, right? Because that's really where Rashog can show his expertise, is NFL and NBA.
That would be a one-sided conversation, as you know.
Or baseball.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Or baseball. He's a huge baseball fan, too.
We went to the Texans-Blue Jays game a couple weeks ago when we were following the Oilers on the road, and it was, it was a one-sided conversation for me there, too.
Parker, I appreciate it, man. Enjoy shooting the game. We'll see you at the rink.
You bet. Thanks, Jason.